that has been a buzz in my Connect group and in our household, not just to joy up, but to shake it off. Shake it off. We're not going to shake it off like, who's that Taylor Swift lady? But we're going to shake it off Jesus style. Are you ready? You ready? So let me pray for you. God, I just thank you for your word today, Father. I thank you that it is alive and active. And Lord, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Lord, I pray that it will bring to pass, Lord, what you have purposed it today. And Lord, I pray that you will help me bring the word of God with clarity and conviction, and that it will bless people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to shake some things off today, church. We're going to shake some things off today. I don't know what the it is in your life, but I want you to know that God is about to shake some things off your life. And you know what? The reality is that God has actually shaken things off. He has loosened the chains. He has loosened the shackles off you, but you have to take an intentional posture and an intentional decision to actually shake it off. Yeah. Tell your person next to you, say, to shake it off. Shake it off. He's going to shake off despair. He's going to shake off depression off your life. He's going to shake off indifference. He's going to shake off negativity. He's going to shake off things that cannot be shaken. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe the word of God that he's going to shake things off your life? And if you don't shake things off, you know what's going to happen? You're going to not walk into the purposes of God. There's potential. There's potential. There's promises. There's plans and purposes that God has each for every one of you. And you need to learn to shake off the shackles of life today in Jesus' name. So, you know, we have pains, right? You know, we have pressures. We have problems in our daily life. And sometimes it's so easy to just get bogged down onto them and then just get you in depression mode. But I'm declaring today that the pain that you have, the past that you have, the hurts, the problems, the pressure, there's a greater purpose behind those. And God's going to use, you know, the trials, the tribulation, the testing and turns in your life into a testimony. Into a testimony. If you allow it, God's going to do that for you, because he did that for me 24 years ago. On Friday, I remember dates, and I know my husband doesn't like it, but I remember dates and specific dates and times. And 24 years ago on Friday, I had a decision to make to accept Christ or to actually end my life. You see, I was sitting at the edge of the bed at Griffith University dormitory that night, and I had lots and lots of problems and pain. And I was going to end my life that night. Wow. But I'm so glad I didn't. Wow. Yeah. So glad I didn't. Because 24 years on, I'm still here by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And so, you know, God has been speaking to me about this passage in Scripture, and it's in Acts 28, and we're going to go there in a minute. And God has an uncanny way of asking me to speak a message, and he's given me this topic like about a month ago. And through this week, I've had some little things, snippets of, okay, this is what you're going to preach on, and through TVs and shows and whatever, like emails from friends. And I thought, okay, God, you're speaking clearly. I'll speak to this now. And I want talked about a disciple this morning of Jesus that had experienced a lot of pain and a lot of problems in the midst of his faith journey. And his name is the Apostle Paul. Let's read Acts 28, verse 1 to 6. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, "A murderer, no doubt." Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up and suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Now you can have a look at, like, I've read that story for a long time and say, oh yeah, that's pretty good. But like, you gotta understand the background of this story, this passage of story, which we can take today, and some practical truths that we can apply in our lives about how to shake it off. And, you know, in previous past, like, the Apostle Paul has experienced, copped a lot of problems and pain through his faith journey, as I said before. He was flogged, he was sent to prison, he was whipped, he got stoned, like, stoned as in thrown rocks, like, not the other way around. He was put into prison, survived the storm and a shipwreck, and now, what did we just read? He got bitten by a snake. I mean, seriously, what is that about? So, you know, he had some problems to face, but he did not allow those pain, the problems, the setbacks and things like that to disqualify him from the call of God. He held on to the promise. That, because, you know, in previous, which I will read later on, that Paul had a promise from God. And there's always a greater purpose behind our pain. And some of you here this morning has had some setbacks, has had some pain, has had some problems. But don't allow that pain to disqualify you for the promises and the plan and the purposes and the potential that you have in God. So, the Apostle Paul, he experienced storm, shipwreck, and snakes. Have you questioned yourself lately, or maybe a few times, and said, have you had a time in your life where you had to ask, can it get any worse? Can it get any worse? Can it get, like, seriously, it's just blow by blow, like relentless. It's like from all sides. And the Apostle Paul actually had that, but it didn't deter him. So I have several thoughts for you this morning. If we're going to continue the life journey with some sense of longevity and some sense of purpose in our life, then we need to learn to shake things off. And the number one thing that I want you to start shaking off is shake off the crisis. Shake off the crisis. You know, we all have crisis in our life. We all have turns and testings and tribulations and things like that, pressures and pain. But like I said before, God will use them to turn into your mess. He's going to turn into a message, you know. It says on Acts 28, verse 3, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks, he was laying them on the fire. A poisonous snake. Now, can I have my volunteer? I hate snakes. Does anyone else hate snakes? Now, this Mitch is he's a good man. He's an environmentalist. Can I have a look what's in there? Oh, my gosh, what the heck? Oh, hang on. Oh, hang on. Let me just. Can you get it for me? Like. Give me. Oh. Oh my gosh. Oh! Snake! Oh! My gosh! Don't worry. It's not real. So good. Snake! What did it say? I mean, he was just minding his own business, you know? You know, he just thought, oh yeah, he just survived a shipwreck and all that, and then he was just like helping these islanders to set fire because he was cold and rainy. And just when he thought he had reprieve, oh yes, the heat, the nice heat, he just picked up the stick, and then lo and behold, a snake comes out and bit him. He did not just the snake didn't just bite him, right? You got to read the passage. It actually just attacked him, latched onto him, and everything like that. And so, you know, we were thinking, sometimes, this is no ordinary snake. I mean, I know his thing, but is there anything else that you need to... But seriously. the pregnant woman. Don't scare the pregnant woman. He was just gathering some sticks, right? This is a crisis, if you want to know. This is a crisis because the poisonous snake could have bit him and he could have dropped dead. He could have dropped dead because it says it was a poisonous snake. But I'm just wondering, what did he do? What did Paul do? He shook it off. He shook it off. He shook it off. He shook off the snake. I wonder if there's some snakes in your life that you need to shake off. I wonder if there's some snakes in your life that you need to start shaking off. Shaking off the negativity in your life. Shaking off the things of despair and depression and things, Lord, that you know, God wants you to shake off. You know? Because the reality is, He wants you to shake off the crisis in your life. You know, the thing is, you could be doing the will of God. Crisis comes. Crisis comes. But you know, the pain, the problems, and the pressure often precedes the promise. And you will find that while you're carrying the good news of peace, joy, and love, that something will come against you. Verse 5, it says, but Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. I'm not going to go through that because there's more to that, into the fire. But I'm here to declare to you today that if you're doing the will of God and the purpose of God and you're pursuing His plans, then you're going to get bitten by some snakes and you're going to learn to shake it off. Shake it off? Don't allow the crisis of this world, the pain and the problems and pressure to take you down or to disqualify you, but rather focus and cast your mind to Calvary. Don't focus on the crisis, but cast your mind to Calvary. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good, of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You and I have a calling from God. You and I have promises that God has ordained in our life. And are we going to let the crisis and pain and things of this world disqualify us? Let us not do that. As I said to you before, 24 years ago, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I'm so glad I did. And some of you today, you're in a crossroad. You're in a crossroad of life where you will have to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to let the crisis of this world overtake you and overwhelm you. You've got to shake it off. Another thing I see in this passage where I believe you and I need to learn to shake things off is number 2, shake off criticism. Shake off criticism, because you know this is a big one, and sometimes it happens in churches, right? I'm not going to water it down, but sometimes it happens in churches. Acts 28 verse 4 says, the people of the island saw it hanging from his hand, that's a snake, and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt, though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. You know, as soon as Paul was bitten by the snake, the people in the island began criticizing him. They were very suspicious people, and they assumed that the snake bit Paul because of some evil in his life. In their view, he was being punished because he was a wicked man, and start saying all this stuff to him. Wow. Isn't that what sometimes we face? That sometimes you're just doing the will of God and then, you know, comes out of crisis and then people automatically judge you, criticize you, condemn you for a story that they have purposed in their mind and not really know the full story. Yeah. You know, they try and make up these things in their mind. We can all relate to this at some point where you and I have been the subject of a criticism and a condemnation that you and I didn't really need to have. Shake it off. Shake it off. And, you know, it's hard. I've had some fair criticism and stuff like that in my life. Though it's hard, I had to learn to shake it off. People that I thought were my friends and everything, you know, and poured out my life to them, criticized me and judged me and condemned me for something that they don't know nothing about. And you know what? I'm still standing. But the people that were doing that, they're no longer there. They're no longer there. And so the number one thing that I have learned in times like this in my life journey as a Christian is that you just got to shake it off. Shake off the criticism. Shake off the condemnation. Shake off the judgment in your life. Because you know what? Don't let that condemnation or the criticism that people have said about you disqualify you, because God has said something else for you. Don't let that be the greater thing that overtakes you, but have a look at the Word of God and have a look what God says about you and to you, because He says you are a child of God. He says that you are mine. He says that I have bought you with a price. So don't let that criticism disqualify you, because if you allow people to label you and condemn you and to criticize you, it is the same label that they will use one day in the future to disqualify you. It is the same label that they will use to disqualify you. And sometimes now I don't say much now to people, because I have had my fair share of criticism. Isaiah 54:17 in the Bible, Amplified Bible, says, "No weapon formed against you will succeed, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you will condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, says the Lord." So you have a defender. Yeah. You have a vindicator. You don't have to justify yourself. You don't have to work up things and you know, try and justify that. But God is your defender. He will protect you. And no weapon formed against you that rises against you to condemn you will prosper. Amen? Amen. You got to take that. You got to take that, because that is the Word of God. You know, get your eyes off your critics. Get your eyes off your condemners. But focus your eyes on Christ. Focus your eyes on Christ. The criticism to say you're not enough, well, I'm here to tell you and declare to you by the grace of God, you are enough. You are enough. Don't let the world tell you you are not enough. You have great potential. You have great purpose and plans and promises from God. And you need to know that you are enough. When He has called you, you are enough. He has given you that anointing. He has given you that skills and abilities and giftings, so that you are enough. Number three. I'm really getting hungry, so I'm going to get here. Shake off the cynicism. So not only do we have to shake off crisis in our life, not only do we need to shake off the criticism of our life, but we need to shake off the cynicism. Right. And sometimes, you know, cynics, it's not just the crowds, it could be us. Yeah. You know, sometimes we can get cynical, we can get jaded when God has oh God, do you still love me? Why is this all crisis? Why is this all this criticism coming from all points of my life? I did not deserve this, God. I did not deserve to be hurt. I did not deserve this abuse. I did not deserve to be backstabbed and all that sort of stuff. But you know what? God is saying to you today, shake it off. Shake off the cynicism and the criticism and the crisis of your life. Your past does not dictate your future. Your past is your past. And that God will make that His history. The past belongs to the past, not to the future. Amen? Sometimes we can get cynical. And, you know, you got to wonder, God, do you still love me? Do you still have a plan for my life? Because I'm not feeling it right now. And like I said to you before, feeling, don't feel it. Don't fake it, but follow it. sometimes when there's a fight between my heart and my head, and experiences has taught me this, that the best thing I can do is pick up the Word of God. Is pick up the Word of God. And the cynical thoughts, the negativity I have in my life will break it down. Shake it off. Instead of picking up another snake, a blunt tool that we often use in our life, the default that we use, whatever you feed your soul, it'll grow. It'll grow. Pick up the Word of God. And so in this passage it says, these people were sitting where they're watching Paul, waiting for him to swell up and fall down and die. The cynical crowd expected a great fall from the apostle. So in this moment, Paul has a decision to make whether he would let the venom of the snake kill him. But what did Paul do? He shook it off. He didn't allow the venom of the snake to affect him, but because he remembered the promise of God in his life. You see, he had a promise. Acts 23, verse 11, it says here, that night the Lord appeared to Paul and said, "Be encouraged, Paul. Just as you have witnessed to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well." That's the promise. That's the promise. Paul did not get deterred or perturbed because he hadn't preached in Rome yet. He hadn't preached in Rome yet. That was God's promise. He survived all the storms and the shipwreck and the snake. And it did not let him, just deter that, because he knew that he had a promise from God. A snake didn't bit him on his hand, but he was confident because he knew the promise is not fulfilled yet. So if you have failed before, shake it off. Shake the dust of despair. Shake the dust of the cynicism in your life and trust the God that has given you that promise. Yeah. Romans 11 verse 29, it says, God's gift and his call will never be withdrawn. Which means that the promise and the word that God has given you over your life, if it hasn't come to pass, then you don't have to worry about the things that are coming into your life. The crisis, the criticism, and the cynical things that people say. Don't do it. Don't allow it. Can I have the musician come, please? His promise for you is permanent. The pain and the problems are temporary. Take comfort in that. You have not missed it. You may have detours in your life. That's okay. God's going to bring you back. Because his promise still stands. He will never fail you. He hasn't failed you. And he won't even start now. God is able to take the mess of your past and turn it into a message. The trials and tests and turns, he turns them into a testimony. I want to ask you a question. While every eye closed and every head bowed, what God has promised you? What are the prophecies, the promises? And you know, sometimes we have prophecies and you've got to test them. Not all prophecies are from God. What are the promises, the words that God has spoken over your life? You need to focus on the promise, not the pain or the problem, so that you can see the plan and purpose will come to pass and the provision of God will sustain you. You know, too many times, and I've seen this even in my life, that we allow what the world says about us greater than what the truth of God's word says to us. There's not a critic. There's not a cynic. There's not a criticism that you need to bow down to, because God's not finished with you yet. You need to shake it off. If I can, the young people that are in this room, don't short-circuit your life. Because you have a plan that you have not fulfilled yet. God has the potential and the purpose for your life. need to shake off those things that has weighed you down for far too long. Shake it off. Shake it off. It doesn't belong to your life. You have great potential. You are enough. You have not missed it. Have a look at the promises of God over your life. If it hasn't come to pass, then God's not done yet. Don't allow the snake of this life to bite you and latch on their venom into your spirit. Allow the pain, and yes, we do all have them. Allow the pain, embrace the pain, so that you can grow through that. The pain is your friend. Pain is your friend. You might not think it is, but it is. So, you know, we're going to have a God moment right now. And I want you, right where you are, you need to start recalling the promises, the plans and the purposes that God has for you, instead of focusing on the problems and the pain. We all have them. We all go through them. But it is how you respond to that pain will allow you to grow. Don't let the pain make you bitter, but let the pain make you a better person. As we sing this song, it's such a beautiful song, such an anointing over it. Let us all stand, shall we? Let your life do the preaching. Don't react, but respond. In Jesus' name.